Let's all open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. John the Apostle was in a prison exile all alone. And God gave him a series of visions and led him to write down what he saw and heard in the book of Revelation. The first few verses he records a benediction to God and a blessing from God to the readers. And then, out of nowhere natural, out of somewhere supernatural, comes a booming voice that says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and was and is to come, the Almighty." A few verses later, John says he turned and heard the voice and saw the face, and says the voice was as bold as a trumpet and as powerful is a waterfall. And it says here in chapter 1 verse 8, the voice was the voice of the Lord God Almighty. We have never heard the voice of God directly like John did, but we do hear it indirectly, as it were like an echo, not with our physical ears, but with our heart when we read the Bible, for this is the Word of God. The voice of God Himself identifying Himself. In the Bible, God identifies Himself in various ways. He tells us His name. He gives us various titles of Himself. He uses adjectives of Himself, like "I am holy." He uses metaphors of Himself, like "He is a rock." And in this verse, God gives us a mysterious and authoritative self-identification when He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." It's mysterious. Other places, He simply says, "I am God." Or He begins the Ten Commandments, "I am the Lord your God." Or sometimes He simply says, "I am God Almighty." Today, by God's grace, we're going to look at just this one verse that is a profound self-identification of God Himself, the Almighty. Now, there are variations in the manuscripts, and that shows up in the various English translations. I use the New King James Version, which is almost identical with the King James Version. But this is the first of several times in Revelation where God says this. Verse 8, He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Then in verse 11, He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." And then in verse 17, "I am the first and the last." And then later in the book, chapter 21, verse 6, He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And then later in that chapter, actually the next chapter, 22:13, has the fullest of all, where He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now, those three statements are all identical, but each has a individual nuance. And though this is speaking of the Trinity, it doesn't mean, well, the Father is the Alpha and the Omega, the Son is this, and the Spirit is that. No, this self-designation applies to each member of the Trinity. We are going into deep waters. John heard it in Greek, and in Greek it came out, "Ego eimi." There's something very special about that. Actually, two or three important statements. First off, the verb "eimi" doesn't need a qualifying preposition in front of it. It stands on its own as if to say, "I am." So when that extra personal pronoun is used, ego, from which we get the English word ego, what God is saying here is, I alone am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the only Alpha and the Omega. I, in contradistinction from all others, am the Alpha and the Omega. Also, when God said it in Greek, ego eimi, John, being a Jew, would also know immediately, this is the one that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Moses saw the burning bush and heard God himself saying, stop. And Moses said, who are you? And he said in Hebrew, I am that I am. And later, Greek-speaking Jews would translate that as ego eimi. It's shortened to simply, I am. Who is God? He is the great I am. And a various form of that means his personal name. Pronounce it either Yahweh or Jehovah. It means the one who is. So when John heard God say, I am, he immediately knew, this is the God of Moses. This is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one true God. And this is the John that wrote the Gospel of John, where seven times he records Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life. Seven, the number of perfection. Jesus Christ, actually several times in the gospel, simply said, I am. John 8:24 and John 8:58. And so here he is again simply saying, I am. One more thing, John, not just the bread of life, not just the good shepherd, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Look again at the text. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Again, underscoring, he is the only one that is first, the only one that is last. Now, you may not know, what does this mean? Alpha and Omega? Again, in Greek, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. In fact, it's very interesting. Do you know what the second letter is? Beta. Alpha, Beta, from which we get the word alphabet in English. So he heard it in Greek. He could have heard it in Hebrew as well. Here is God saying, I am the Alpha, the beginning, as well as the end. Now in Hebrew, the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet are Aleph, Beit, and then Gimel and so forth. So whether it's in Greek, Alpha, Beta, or in Hebrew, Aleph, Beit, it's the same idea. He is the first, the beginning. And then he also says, I am the Omega. That is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So he is saying, I am the first letter, I am the last letter. The last letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Tau. And the ancient rabbis would say, if something is from Aleph to Tau, that means it's complete, it's everything. So again, think Hebrew. John heard this in Greek, was thinking in the Hebrew, and he is hearing God saying, I am the completeness. I am the one and only God. I am the Alpha and the Omega. It would be like us saying in English, from A to Z and everything in between. Someone pointed out that in Matthew 23, Jesus rebuked the Jews for killing the first of the prophets and the last of them. Abel to Zechariah, A to Z, and they persecuted all the ones in between. So here God identifies himself saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. It's comparable to what he has already said and what he's about to say. I am the one that is and was and is to come. Now, think about that. I am the one that always was. I am that eternal Alpha. I am the one that is to come, the everlasting Omega that has no end, into eternity future, from eternity past. And we'll get to that phrase in just a moment. This is very rich, and we need to grasp it. This is how God first identifies himself in the last book of the Bible before he talks about the dreams and the visions leading up to the second coming. He says to John, John, listen, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega that is speaking to you. Let's go deeper. This is an echo of several other places in the Bible that describe God. Romans 11:36, this great benediction. For from him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice what it says. From him. Why? Because he is the beginning of all things. He has created all things. He guides all things through him. But it also says, unto him are all things. That's the Omega point, that everything is created for and aimed at. Colossians 1:16 also says this. All things were created through him and for him. What does this tell us? It tells us that God, being self-existent from all eternity, is the source of all things and the goal of all things. The Bible says was created by God for God. He is the Alpha and the Omega of everything that he exists. You could say he is the center and circumference of all the universe. He is also, I like this, he is also the source of all goodness and all truth, all holiness. He is the source of all love. We need those great qualities, and we can only find them in their zenith in God himself, because he is the source of all things. We should not go searching for truth elsewhere in philosophy, or love in simply romance or in lust. We should not look for holiness simply in cultural mores. All of these are to be found in their ultimate source in God Almighty, who is the Alpha and the Omega. Look again at the text. He says, I am the beginning and the end. He also will later say, I am the first and the last. Because that's just three ways of saying the same thing. The Alpha, the beginning, the first. He is the Omega, the end, and the last. And there can be only one first and only one last. Now, this and similar terms are used in the Bible to emphasize that the Lord is God alone. Now, John didn't need to be reminded of this, but in a way he did. Being a good, zealous Jew that believed in the Messiah, he remembered that awesome truth, the most important statement in all of the Hebrew Bible. Ask your Jewish friends, if you had to sum up Judaism, how would you do it? They'll stand up and say, blessed be God, the Lord our God is one. That's called the Shema, and it's repeated several times in the Bible. And this is another way of stating it here. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. There is one and only God. The Bible teaches monotheism. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Not many, as Hinduism says. And it's absolutely crucial to realize the identification of this one true God. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He gives us his very proper name, descriptions about him. In the book of Isaiah, he contrasts himself with all false gods, which are idols and demons. You've heard me say this in this pulpit, a very controversial, culturally incorrect statement. The Lord our God is one, and his name is not Allah. And yet people won't say this. It's on television, on the internet, it's in the schools that say, but there is only one God. Call him Jehovah or Allah or Vishnu or whatever you want to. It doesn't matter. It does matter. Allah is not the one true God. He is not the Alpha and the Omega. He is a false idol. He is a demon in disguise. The summary of Islam is there is one God, Allah, and Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. And that is a lie. According to the Bible, there is only one true God, and his son is Jesus Christ. Islam hates idols, but the irony is their false God is an idol. He is not the one true God. God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And it says, especially in those verses in Isaiah that we read, and we'll read again in a moment, He is the only one God. Revelation 1:8 refers to several verses back in Isaiah. Let me read these to you. Isaiah 41:4. I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. 43:10, I am He. By the way, that's basically in Hebrew saying, this is my name, the I am. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be any after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. 44:6, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me there is no God. 48:12, I am He, I am the first, I am also the last. Do you get the picture? When God says in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, immediately that harks back to many places in the Bible where God says, I am the one true God. The first God, the last God, the only God. Now in some places where this phrase is found, it refers to God as God by His very nature. But in some places it refers primarily to God the Father, but in other places it refers primarily to God the Son. And some will say, how can it be both if there's only one? Because the Father and the Son share that one divine nature. Separate persons, but one nature. They're also three persons. The Holy Spirit is also God. He is also Alpha and Omega. He's mentioned in the book of Revelation. Brothers and sisters, Revelation 1:8 is one of many verses in the Bible that teach us very clearly Jesus Christ is God, always has been, always will be. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses and others will say, wait a second, these verses that talk about the Alpha and the Omega in Isaiah and in Revelation are speaking about the one God, not His Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe that you've heard that on your doorstep when they come promoting their false gospel. But they're wrong. The verses that we'll look at in just a moment are sometimes put in the mouth of Jesus. But my point is, these verses tell us explicitly Jesus Christ is God. It's not a God, as the Mormons say. He did not become God. He is the Alpha. He has always been God. I'm still waiting for my publisher to publish my book entitled 100 Proofs of the Deity of Christ. It's a little overdue. I've collected 100 clear, explicit places in the Bible that teach us unmistakably Jesus Christ is God. How many could you name? How many can you quote from the Bible to refute those that say Jesus Christ is not God? I found at least 100. Go home, get out a piece of paper and see how many you could name. And put this one in the top 10. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Clearly teaching Jesus Christ is God. Now someone will say, whether they claim to be a Christian or not, they'll say, what difference does it make if it's the Father or the Son? You know, that sounds like theologians daydreaming because they got nothing better to think about. Just give me something that I can live with and how to live life. What difference does it make whether Jesus Christ is God or not? What difference does it make? Makes all the difference in the world. There's no more important truth in the universe than who God is. That's ultimate truth. That's more important than how to get along in life. You cannot get along in life without knowing God. Makes all the difference in the world. Christianity believes that there is one God and Jesus Christ is fully God. What difference? It's the ultimate truth of all existence. God Himself, the one that is. In fact, look at the next phrase. He identifies Himself as who is and who was and who is to come. It's repeated from what we said last week in verse 4. Both the Father and the Son are eternal, from eternity past to eternity future, without beginning, without end. And only God is eternal, not the angels, and certainly not human beings, and definitely not animals. God alone is eternal. In theology, we say that is one of the incommunicable attributes of God. What's that? Well, we know what it means to communicate something. You speak to someone. A word goes from you to that person. God has certain attributes he does not communicate to us. He tells us about, but he doesn't give to us. We communicate a cold to someone. If you sneeze or pass COVID to someone else, that's communicable disease. God has communicable attributes. He says, be holy as I am holy. He commands us to be holy. He makes us truthful, wise, and holy, and loving. But there are certain qualities about God he does not communicate to us. He does not say, be infinite as I am infinite. We will never be infinite. He does not say, be unchangeable as I am unchangeable. He does not say, know all things and be omniscient as I am omniscient. Nor does he say, be eternal as I am eternal. We will live forever, but we had a start in time. We will never say, oh, I have lived from everlasting. No. God alone is eternal, and that's implied in this. I am the first and the last, the eternal God. I am him who is and who was and is to come, the Bible says. And that applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a similar verse to this in Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you see the Alpha and the Omega there as well? He is the same. He is immutable. And there's another incommunicable attribute of God. We change. We go through time. We grow. We grow old. We get sick. We change. It says in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord. I change not. He doesn't change to get any better. He's already perfect. Being perfect, he cannot change for the worse or be any different. And yet the Bible says Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So you see, all these verses all work together in the rainbow of God's glory to show Jesus Christ is God. Look at the text again. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Greek puts in that definite article, the Almighty. As if to say he is the one and only almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent deity. There can only be one that's almighty, because if they were two, they would be at loggerheads. That's what some of the religions of the East, like Zoroastrianism and Taoism teach, that there are two gods, equal but opposite. It's not what the Bible says. There's only one true God, only one that is almighty. The Greek word is pantocrator, and it's used 9 times in the book of Revelation. It's used in 2 Corinthians 6:18, calls him the Lord Almighty. And in the Old Testament, written Hebrew, it's that wonderful name, El Shaddai. There was a famous Christian song some years ago, El Shaddai, El, short for Elohim, which means God, and Shaddai means the powerful one, the all-powerful one. El Shaddai means what it says here, God Almighty. Almighty God. This is an amazing verse. We could go on and on meditating upon every single word and every little nuance here. For example, when he says the beginning and the end, who was and is to come, that is like what we saw earlier, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is the beginning. He is the beginning of all things. Everything has a beginning. He has no beginning. He is his own beginning from eternity. He is the goal of all things. Everything else comes and goes. God has always been, always will be. Now there's a couple of other verses that are somewhat similar to this verse. They all shed light on each other. Here's one. Hebrews 12:2 says, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Do you get it? The author. He is the Alpha of our faith. He is also the finisher of our faith. He is the goal of our faith. And then in Matthew 19, Jesus told a parable and said, the first will be last and the last will be first. What he meant was, those that are first in this life will be last in the next life. Those that are last in this life will be first in the next one. You may scratch your head and say, well, what does that mean? Jesus looked at the Pharisees, looked at the kings and the queens and the princes and says, they're first in this life. But unless they repent, they're going to end up being last in the next life. They won't be in heaven, they'll be in hell. There are those here on earth that are the dregs of society. They're not considered anybody important except before God. So they're last in this life. But if they believe in Jesus Christ, they're going to be first in the next life up in heaven. The first will be last and the last will be first, but not with God, because there's no one else other than him that is first and last. God always wins. He never loses. Something else. These verses also speak about Jesus being the first and the last. He is the first of everything we need. He is the last of everything we need. He is all that we need. You see, they talk about, these verses talk about God being the one and only God. He is the only one we really need. Think about that, dear brethren. When you come to the extremity of your need, whatever it is, emotional, financial, marital, physiological, psychological, and you say, I've gone to psychologists, I've gone to doctors, I've gone to preachers, I've gone to my wife, my parents, and they can only do so much. I need something more. What you need more is God. God is ultimately all that we really need. And other people can fail us. And sometimes we find ourselves at the end of a rope. And like the old spiritual says, where could I go but to the Lord? He's all we ultimately really need and nothing more. He is the Alpha and the Omega of our needs. Something else. He demands that he has first place in our life. Since he is the beginning and the end of everything in the universe, he demands, he deserves first place, all places, last place in our life. He says, I must be the Alpha and Omega in your life. All of your desires, your first thought when you wake up, your last thought when you go to sleep at night. He demands it and he deserves it. Now this is how the book of Revelation begins telling us about God in Christ. And we'll learn about his second coming. It builds up to that. Who is the one that we're looking forward to seeing at the second coming? This is the one that is the Alpha and the Omega. This is the one that John has just described and says, he loves us, verse 5, and gave himself for us and washed us in his own blood. This is the one whose birth we celebrated Christmas. This is the one that was laid in a manger. Contemplate that. The one that is the Alpha and the Omega of all things, that is the infinite, almighty God became a man. The mystery of that, the profundity of that. But there's more. It's not just the Alpha and the Omega that became the God-man. He became the one that was tortured and crucified for us. And you say, how could that be? We could understand perhaps an angel or a human, maybe even a good human, suffering and dying on the cross. Brothers and sisters, the glory of the gospel is that it wasn't just an angel, wasn't just another human being. It was the God-man, the Alpha and the Omega that went to the cross. That's the glory of the gospel. God himself became a man. The Alpha and the Omega became a human being to suffer and to bleed and to die for us worthless sinners. In the book of Revelation says that's what he is now. He says, I am this, John. And he's coming back. And the title of this book is The Revelation of Jesus. John heard him. John saw him. And he wrote this down, grasping for words to put into human language what he experienced when God said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And he got to see all of this. But what he saw and heard and felt, we too will see and hear and feel at the second coming, because the theme of this book is this one, the Alpha and the Omega, shall be revealed. We will see this one just like John did. We will hear with our ears as well as with our hearts and minds him saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. When he is revealed, he will not be the baby in the manger late at Christmas. He will not be a weakling that people spat upon and tortured to death. when this Alpha and the Omega reappears and is revealed, he will show himself, as the Bible says, as he is. And can you just picture it? Coming on a white horse, Revelation 19. And further names are given to him then. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Word of God and so much more. And can you just picture him coming back in all of his glory and all of his splendor? And though we see angels and saints with him, all our eyes will be on him. And it's as if he comes back again saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you believe in this one that thunders with the voice of cosmic authority and says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last? Do you believe in him? Do you know him? And if you do, let us worship him. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, who is, was, is to come. You are God Almighty. You alone are God. We bow in awesome humility before your majesty. Thank you that for reasons we cannot grasp, out of your love and wisdom, you became a man, the God-man, to die for us. And you have been exalted again to your throne of glory. And we await and long for your revelation and your return to earth, so that then we can see you as you are, the Alpha and the Omega. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Correction from the bulletin, our hymn.